God will always love me personally, always. And the basic reason behind this is that He is always up to something good in my life. He's always meeting my genuine needs. He always forgives my sins. His love is always there in my life. I want you to turn to John 3:16 for just a moment. We want to go to some territory that is too familiar. Too familiar. It gets in the way. We know too much about it. And because we know it too well. I want you to, in your Bibles, turn there, please. Most of you can quote this by memory. Let's turn our memory off right now. And let's turn our focus on the words themselves. John chapter 3 and verse number 16. John 3 and verse number 16. Here we find a declaration of the love of God. For God so loved the world. All right, the second word in this sentence is what? Look at it. The second word in this verse is God, okay? The sixth word is world. And the third word, the fourth word is loved. So you have God, loved, world, okay? Can you see that? God, loved, world. Now, what is the world? One of the things, if you've had many dealings with the Jehovah's Witnesses, they are very strong on the fact that Christ died for the sins of the world. Most Baptists are strong. Christ died for the sins of the world, okay? God so loved the world. But this becomes intensely personal because toward the end of this verse, he said, in order that each one, everyone without exception who is believing into him. So you have the world as a whole. You have the world in a sinful, lost condition. You have a world in a condition where Adam gave up his rights to the wicked one, and the wicked one then moved in and has become the god of this age. And so you have the mass of people, the cosmos, the world, but then you have everyone, whosoever literally is everyone, who is believing into him. In Romans 10:13, where it says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. It's graphic in the Greek text. Everyone, regardless of whom he might be, who is calling on the name of the Lord, will be saved. It becomes very specific to us personally. So we know that God loved the world, but we have to go beyond that, and we have to understand that we are personally the object of God's love and affection. All right? And, of course, the word here is that word agape, God so loved. Now, this kind of love is divine in nature. It is God's nature. God is love. Now, what does love do? Love does two things. Agape love gives itself on behalf of other people, with no expectation of personal return or benefit. It gives with no anticipation, no expectation of return. And secondly, it serves. It willfully makes itself a servant of its object. Now, when we say God loves us, what does it mean? It means that God gives himself to us with no expectation of return. You say, is that possible? It is. It's true. And then God willfully becomes a servant to us. How would we ever make it to heaven if God did not become a servant to us? How would we make it through the next day or the next week if God did not become a servant to us? God's kind of love gives its own life to others on behalf of others with no expectation of return. I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd does what? Help me. Gives his life for the sheep. Okay? So, we're talking about God loving me personally. And the point is God will always love me. He can't do anything but that because of who and what he is. He is love. So God, the creator of the world, the creator of man, the one who originated not only the planets and the stars and the world, the globe on which we live, all of the functions of nature, but implanted into all of this divine plan and purpose is called the ages. This God is presiding over every individual being in a way which if they will accept it, will bring them into eternal life and will enable them, regardless of what happens in life, not only to survive that life, but to be blessed out of everything and to end safely in His divine presence, where with great joy the Son is going to present His children to the Father. Behold, I and the children You've given Me. God so loved me, I became the object of God's personal sacrifice. He gave His life for me. I have become the object of God's servanthood, if you please. He has placed Himself at my disposal to sustain, to protect, to provide in my life all that I need. That's what it means when it says God loves me. What a God. We are not worshiping a God who said, come on Sunday morning or I will zap you with lightning from heaven, and in the judgment you will face the wrath of God. We are here today because there is a God who, beyond all human comprehension, there is no explanation for this. There's no way to describe it. There's no way to explain it. There is no way to give reasons for it. There are no reasons, let alone adequate reasons for this. When we say that God loves me, God loves you. When we say that, that is a profound, profound statement. God so loved the world. All right? God loved the world. And what is the third word in that verse? What's the third word? So. All right? God so. God thus. In this manner. In this way. God loved the world. This is how He went about loving the world. What was the ultimate expression of the fact that God would sacrifice His own life for mankind, and God would become a servant to mankind? What is the ultimate expression of this? God, in this manner, in this fashion, thus, in this way, God loved the world. So that, resulting in this is the result of the love of God. God gave His uniquely begotten Son. His only begotten, His uniquely begotten, His one-of-a-kind begotten sons. God gave His uniquely begotten Son. Philippians 2 tells us how to relate to other people in the church. Let this mind, let this attitude, this way of thinking be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in form God, did not grasp at equality of God, but made Himself of no reputation, took upon Him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of sinful flesh. And was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Jesus coming is God coming. And our God loves us in this fashion. He does not hang on to all of the rights and prerogatives of deity that are His. He does not hang on to the right to stay in heaven. He did not have to leave heaven. He did not hang on to the glory and praise of angels. He came to become a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. The Lamb of God. And God comes from glory. He lays Himself in a manger. And he grows up among men. He tents among us in his flesh. And then in those awful hours of agony before the cross, when he's praying to his Father, "Father, if it be possible, let this cup be removed from me." Why does he want the cup gone? Because of what's in the cup. What's in the cup? In the cup are my sins. You think because God let you bruise your toenail this week that God doesn't love you? Really? Really? God doesn't love you because he let something, quote, bad happen to you? Really? Really? Involuntarily of his own will, with no guarantee of any return, many will reject him. He gathers up the sins of the whole world and he carries them to the cross. And in the most excruciating judgment death in all of human history, God, the Son, died for our sins. This is the way God loved you and God loved me. This is the fashion. This is the description. Having done that, he came out of that tomb triumphant over sin and death and hell. And hear me, you and I don't know of anybody, I have never found a human being that went chasing after God. God then begins, by the Spirit of God, to draw us to himself and to present himself. And the God of the universe kneels down before us and says, "Look in." The God doing this. Who ever heard of a God that so loved unworthy people? Who? Wherever has this happened in human history? It hasn't. God in this fashion loved the world so that, with the result that he gave his uniquely begotten Son, so that everyone, without exception, everyone believing into him, will not perish, but will be possessing, will be having life eternal. Life eternal. What is eternal life? Eternal life is life forever. It's a never-ending life. It's eternal in its duration. It's eternal in its duration. But secondly, it's eternal in its nature and its character. It means that this love of God provides so that as I walk with God and I live with God in this world, everything I do for God, everything I experience with God, I get to take over to the other side. That's amazing. That's amazing. It means that when they bury me in my corpus, whatever, lies silent in the grave, it means that I don't lose everything on this side of that. I take it all with me. This is amazing. I don't lose my life. I take it with me. God loves me. God's love for me. I want you to turn to one other verse. One other verse, please, if you will. John 17. This is the Lord's Prayer. The other prayer is the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to pray. Lord, teach us to pray. And he taught them to pray, "Our Father, who art in heaven." That's the prayer the Lord Jesus taught his disciples to pray. But this is the prayer that Jesus prayed. John's Gospel, chapter 17, verse number 23. This is a part of that prayer. "I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me." Look at that verse, the last phrase in that verse again. "Hast loved them as thou hast loved me." You say, now, how does God love me? Jesus here is saying God loves us as he loved his own son, Jesus Christ. Did you see that? Look at it again. "That the world may know that thou hast sent me and that thou hast loved them," the disciples, the believers, "thou hast loved these people as," just as, just in the same way as, the Greek word is kathos, "just as," in the same way as, "thou hast loved me." God loves me. God loves me. Will you say that together with me? God loves me. Say it again. God loves me. Now let's get graphic about it. If you got a hand, if your finger's not been cut off, I want you to do this. Do this. Okay? God loves me. All right? One more time. God loves me. Me. Yeah. Yeah. So, he will always love me personally. Always. We're going to enlarge on that in the next message or two. But when we say that God loves us, what does it mean? What does it mean? It means that God dies for us because he loves us, and it means that God lives for us as our servant. That's amazing. You and I are serving a God who is worthy of our praise, worthy of our exaltation. What a God he is.